Okay, let's start. So in the last week and also in the last lecture, we are trying to see how to design a sequential processor where all the instructions are executed in one cycle. And at each cycle, each instruction first reads some state which most probably have been updated in the prior cycle, then does some work within that cycle, and at the end, when the cycle ends, it updates the states. So it writes new values to the states that we have in our processor. And exact what value each instruction would read or write for a different state, that is what we control through boxes. And in the last class, we were trying to see that if we have a simple ISA which had, I guess this one, four memory instructions from our Y86 ISA, how should we build that processor? And this was what we came up with at the last lecture. So if you actually look at the book, that's not how the sequential processor is described. If we try to follow that format, what we have to see is within each cycle, what are the work we do and how should we determine or give a name to the work we are doing at each cycle. And precisely, I guess let's go here. So precisely for our sequential processor in this course, we have six stages, and these stages are conceptual division of the work that each instruction have to do within the cycle. And it's not something based on their sequence or when the ordering of the work that each instruction does. Basically, it's a conceptual thing that we will divide the work we do in different stages. Basically, you will see that having that will help you later in the course when, instead of doing the whole instruction in one cycle, we will use pipelining and do different parts in different cycles. But for this one, the sequential processor, all this work is actually done within one cycle, and this doesn't correspond to their sequence. So for example, the first stage is fetch, where we are reading some value from our instruction memory. So we are reading our instruction and trying to decode the instruction that, split the instruction that, what type of instruction it is, where are the register values, if we have any immediate values, and etc. Then the next stage is actually decode, and it basically corresponds to reading value from the register file. So I guess you can say that the name is not actually corresponding to the work it does, like it's not a good name, but that's what we will use. Then we have execute, that is basically anything related to doing work in the ALU, our arithmetic logic unit. Next we have memory, related to operations we do in memory, so memory read or memory write. And also we have a stage called PC update, when we will update what is our next PC, so what next instruction we want to execute. So these are these six stages: fetch, read instruction from memory, split the instruction, also compute the length, decode, it's all related to reading the register file, execute, we it's the operation which we will do in ALU. And remember that ALUs, we could execute our arithmetic and logic instructions, so XOR and those, But we also use the ALU for address computation. So if there is a memory to register move or register to memory move. So the addition that we use for this displacement and the register value to calculate the address, that's also done in execute stage. Then memory, in the memory stage, any operation related to reading or writing data memory. So you can see that for some instruction, if we don't read memory or write memory, then nothing will happen in this stage. Write back is writing some value to register file. Again, there might be instruction which doesn't do anything with this stage. But also you can think about our like add instruction or memory to register move instruction. Those are the places where we have to write something. And this is the write back stage where we write values to register. And then we have the PC update. Yes?
For the fetch and return steps, how are those related to each other? Like, do they use, do either of them use the result of the other one?
So here it is kind of the ordering is first we fetch the instruction, then we actually use some of the values from the instruction to read the register file. So here there is a sequence.
Which registers you're getting values from?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So those two don't happen at the same time, the same clock cycle?
So they all happen within the clock cycle. But I guess, so think about there is somewhere, the where contains my instruction, right? And whenever I connect that opcode to maybe some other component, as soon as it gets its input, it will start doing something. So in that sense, if I go back to this figure, after I have splitted my instruction, and suppose I send my RARB here, also there is an option that I send my immediate to ALU. So it's more like as soon as the wire gets something, it will try to read or do something, but there is a catch, right? So, but when we update the value within the register, so if we are trying to write back something in memory or in register file, so that update only happens at the end of the cycle. So this is like a very basic property of any kind of combinational logic, that as soon as the wires get value, the values will come here. ALU doesn't depend on the clock, it will start adding stuff. But after that, once the output in the ALU goes to memory, then the data stays there and gets written back only when the we have the leading edge of the clock. So I guess that's what, if you are not still clear, this is the example or the question or exercise that should make you clear about it. So these are six stages that we have. And let's assume the instruction that we are trying to execute is push RAX. So basically what it does is it have to take the value of RAX and update it in the stack. And also, because it's a push, we have to determine what's the value of the RSP that we want to read. So it also have to update RSP. So there are multiple things going on with the push instruction. We have to calculate RSP minus 8. We have to read the location. I guess we have to write the location, that stack location with the value, whatever we have the value in RAX. So what we want to know is when these four things happen, when we read instruction, when will the memory change, when will the stack pointer would change, and when would the PC change? And recall what I said earlier. The values when we calculate something. So for example, I have, where is it? Okay. So I want to calculate the next PC. We are supposed, so as soon as we have the input here, it will calculate the next PC. But the register will get updated only when we see the rising edge of our clock. So now you can think about which one of these options would be true. You can look at the figure, you can also discuss with your neighbors. And then let me know which one you think is the correct one, the correct order. Okay, who thinks it's A? No one. Who thinks it's B? Okay, I guess I see a bunch of hands. So anyone wants to volunteer why? B is the right answer, and the hint is already here. First, we have to read the instruction from our instruction memory. And after that, we do a bunch of stuff, like we calculate what should be the new RSP, we read the value from memory, we put the correct value that we want to write in our register file. So that happens within the cycle duration. But the original, the update to the memory or RSP or PC, that happens only at the end of the cycle. So that's why the correct ordering is one happens first, and then two, three, four will happen almost at the same time with the clock, the rising edge of the clock, yes.
So in general, when anything gets written, it always happens on a rising edge.
In general, yes. But so those are the states which are we are using the clock cycle to write something. So for example, I guess let's see if there is any other thing. No, so there are no other states which we would update without the clock cycle, with the rising edge. So anything else here, basically, whenever the wire gets the value, it will try to do something based on that. But the final stage when we write back something to our registers, that will only happen with the rising edge of the clock cycle. And remember that the register we are using is one is PC, then one is this register file, and we have the memory. But there is also the flags, which usually we are not talking about. The conditional flags, that's also a register. Yes?
So would you say the first three happen about in order, and then the third the second read happened at about the same time.
Here?
In the previous.
In the previous, okay.
In the past, like, one from the previous two slides.
Second three almost the same time. I guess it takes a bit longer time to read the memory, but like the time it takes to get the signal from here to ALU or from here to the register would be kind of comparable. But the get the data out of memory, that might take a bit longer than the rest of them. So basically, I guess the concept that you should have in your, okay, I guess, have in your mind is like PC is supposed to get a new value, PC plus something. We will calculate that value, PC plus something, and that will come here within the cycle. But the update will only happen like writing the actual value in register file. That will happen at the end.
You have. That may have answered my question. So you're saying like fetching the data from memory will take a bit longer, but that's within the two clock cycles. Like it'll fetch it and then it'll update it within the next clock cycle?
Yes. Any more questions? Okay. So we would actually like to see that what kind of operation goes in each instruction. And in the book, there is a specific terminology they have used. And so far, we haven't used it. But now we will go through some examples to see that how this matches to whatever we have seen until now. So this is a very simple instruction, knob, and it doesn't do any kind of operation. The only thing happens is we just move to the next instruction. That means that it has to update the PC. So here you can see that the first in the fetch stage, we read the instruction memory and get the instruction. And by this M1 PC, basically, it says that the whatever we read from the memory, the first byte of that instruction, we will rename it as this I-code and I-fun. So the first byte, which is our opcode, that now we are kind of separating into and giving them two names. One is I-code, the first 4 bytes, upper 4 bytes. And the next four bits, sorry, the first 4 bits, it's I-code. The next 4 bits, we call it I-fun. And this assignment just means that we are giving this wire a name, then the name is I-code and I-fun. Also, at NOP, at the PC update stage, we have to update the PC with the PC plus one value. And this assignment again means that the value that we have calculated, PC plus one, that's just going to the input wire of the PC. So now we could actually compare how it looks like with some other instruction. So the next instruction we will see is jump. And what jump does is, you can, if you remember, there is one, the first byte is the opcode, and then it has this 8-byte address it uses as the next PC. So that's where the instruction starts fetching the instruction from. So I guess here, you could see that the first byte, it's the same, we say it's I-code and I-fun. And then this M8 PC plus one is just saying that we are skipping the first byte, but then we are reading the next 8 bytes from the memory, and we are naming that where, whatever we have read from our instruction memory, as val C. Then what jump does is we just take the new PC, and we are supposed to input it to our PC register. So this is what this is happening here. So this is our new PC, which we got from the instruction, and we input it to our PC register. So the assignment just means that we are taking this wire and connect it to the input of the PC register. And if you look at the stages, this actually gives you an idea that where are the places you need a mux. So for example, in PC update, now we have two different values we want to update the PC with. Either it's PC plus one or it's coming from this instruction. So basically, if you just look at all the stages of the instruction and if you see something conflicting, that means that, that's the place you're supposed to add a mux, and based on the opcode of the instruction, decide what value to pass the PC. So for example here, if these are the only two instructions that we had, the PC value could be updated either from val P or val C. So val P is PC plus one, val C is the destination from the jump. And that's where we need mux. Any questions?
So you said M8 is when you're supposed to jump?
So M8, so basically this terminology means that you're reading from memory, so that's why there is M. And where's the location you want to read? So that's like the PC is pointing to the beginning of the instruction. And the first byte is opcode, so we will ignore the opcode and take the next 8 bytes, which is denoted by this 8. And whatever we read, whatever comes up from memory, this notation says that we name that wire as val C. Any more questions? Okay. So another example would be the memory to register or register to memory move. These are more complex. So you can already see that there are a bunch of things happening at each stage. But this will tell you, like if you look at them side by side, it will tell you that what are the different things happening in different stage and where you are supposed to use a mux to differentiate what input you want to use. So for register to memory, I guess you can see that the stage fetch and decode, fetch is almost the same. We are just reading the instruction from memory. Then we have we want to read the rest of the instruction to determine what's the displacement, what's the register values, and etc. But after that, in the decode stage, we actually have to read the register with the register value RA. And this notation, val A, we are assigning RA, means that we are setting the register number input to register file. And so RRA, this is our output to from the register file. And that output, we are naming it as RA. So this small RA is the address to register file. This RRA means that we have already read that register value from register file. So there is this output where the value is now located. And this where we will name it as val A. And you can see that for MR move queue, in the decode stage, we are not doing anything, at least for val A, like for this where, like for the first register per input, we don't do anything. So that means that when you're designing the decode stage for these two instructions, you have to make sure that for our register to memory move, you set up things properly, but also for memory to register move, you have to take care that nothing should happen. And in our register file, what do? If we don't want to read anything, we input F, which means that don't read or write. So similarly, here in the memory stage, this is a register to memory move. So we are supposed to write something into memory. And this assignment actually means that what is the where, what kind of address it should have. Like in the memory, there is some, we are supposed to have input address, input value, and that is something would get written into the memory when the cycle ends. So basically, it just means that the address is supposed to be val E, which we have calculated in with our ALU. And we also have to set the write enable thing, which I guess in this notation we don't show, but this is something I guess you have to keep in your mind. And see what's the difference between two memory stages with memory to register move and register to memory move. Basically here we are writing into memory, and here we are reading from memory. And basically this M8 val E means that read the memory from address val E, and whatever output we will have from memory, we will name it as val M. So value read from memory, that's how the textbook decided to name val M. In the write back stage, for memory to register move, we are supposed to write back whatever we have read from memory to our destination register. And this assignment means that in the register file, we actually have to use the register number RA. And we, if we want to write, that means that we also need a value to write. And that will come from val M. So basically, the terminology that we have seen so far, it's slightly different in our book. So here, I guess the first difference is when we are writing the, we have calculated our new PC, and we want to update the PC with the new program counter, that where is named as val P. Then val A and val B are the output of our register file. So before we were saying that it's our source A, our source B, but the book says it's val A and val B. Then the immediate value that we had either for IR move Q or displacement for calculating any address, that's in the book we call it val C, like value constant probably. And then there are two differences here. The output of the ALU, we call it val E, and whatever gets out of the memory, that's called val M. Any question here? Okay. So one thing that I guess I was hinting before, that you can see that there is a bunch of where's that determines what happens at each box. Depending on the opcode, sometimes you we increment the PC by 2, sometimes by 10. But these are the signals or wires that control the boxes. But in the stages, we generally don't show them. But this is just, I assume that this is something we have to do, but if we want to show all the control path, it will become really complex. So usually we will ignore it, but you have to keep in your mind that we have to have somewhere which controls all the boxes. And basically, because they control something, like these are not exactly related to the data that we are trying to calculate, this is the path, it's called control path. And all the other words where we are actually transferring some value that we have calculated or some value we have read, those are called the data path. And mostly we won't show the control path in the pictures. I guess another important thing is, so I said that anything that controls marks, that's control path. But there is also this fuzzy behavior or fuzzy logic that when you're updating your control flags, like zero flag or the sign flag, it's not clear if it's part of the data path or control path. It's not agreed upon, but we will never ask you if the flag or what kind of path is we use for these flags. So just keep in your mind that this something is kind of in between. Any questions? So now what we will do is we will go through each stage and try to see that what happens for all instruction within that stage. So this is actually easier when you are trying to implement your processor. So for example, for fetch stage, you will just look at for all the instruction and decide that what happens for all of them in the fetch stage. So in the fetch stage, we read the instruction memory and then we split our instruction into ICode and IFUN, that's our opcode. We use register numbers to read the register file, and sometimes we have these immediate in our instruction, for example, for immediate register move or jump, so that's our VLC. And also we increment our PC, usually based on the instruction length. So if we just want to design this, this is how it will look like. So we take the PC and read the instruction memory. And when we have our instruction, we split it into VLC, RA, RB. And we also have to calculate what's the address of our next instruction. Do you think it's done or we need something else? So for the fetch, usually all the instruction is actually just reading memory, instruction memory, and doing the split. So it's kind of same for the all instruction. So that's why at least for the fetch stage, it's kind of easier. But for all the other stage, what we will follow is we will try to design for the common case and then try to see that if there are any special instruction doing something specific in that stage. So that's what we will start to do from decode. So for decode, we are trying to read the register file. And in order to read the register file, we have two inputs, which are register numbers, RA and RB. And whatever that we read from the register file, the wire names are VLA and VLB. So that's what we do. We just connect these register numbers that we have read in our previous stage and connect it to our register file. So this is the generic case which we will do in most instructions. But then now you have to think about, does it true? Is it true for all instructions? Like, should we always use RA and RB, or there are any special cases? So for example, let's take these five instructions. Not add, MR, move, pop and call. So for which instruction this will not work? Let's take knock. Knock doesn't do anything. So basically, we could use if to say that don't read the register file, or we could just make sure that we don't actually do anything with the output. For add, it actually reads two register values from the register file, so it works perfectly. For memory to register, what do you think? Yes.
We need to connect R into destinate.
I guess that will happen in the write back stage. So we are still just trying to figure out that for source A and source B, is this wiring correct or do we need something else? And remember that for memory to register, we take the value of RA, add it to the immediate, and write it back to RB. So far it seems it's kind of okay. For pop and call, it's actually a bit different. So let's actually see. So these are four instructions where different things would happen when in our decode stage. And I guess let's see what happens here. So here, there are halt, knock, jump instruction to register move. So for this instruction, we are not actually reading register file. So there is no operation here. So in that case, we can just ignore it. Or we can just say that we will use if in the input so the register don't read anything. But then there are these changes. So for memory to register or register to memory, sometimes we use, I guess here, MR move Q, we use RB, but for source A, we actually don't use it. For call and return, this is the place where we are actually updating the register the stack pointer. So that's where we actually have to use this mux to make sure that sometimes we take the RSP as our input. Same for push pop, but I guess there is also the source, which is RA. So if we pop something, we write it back to RA. If we push something, we take the value of RA and write it back. So if we just look at the table, this says that what are the all the inputs that we can have for our register file. And you can see that since there are, for example, let's take the RB. So here, RB, we have three options. So either it's the RSP, RB, or we will say that don't write. So that's why we have to have a mux, which takes input RB, RSP, and none. For register file, actually, we could just omit the if, because as long as in the output, we don't use that source B to do something, it's fine. So that's why you can now see that in the decode stage, we actually have these marks, and it can choose RB or RSP based on the output. Yes.
Can you explain again, like memory to register, you said something that uses RB?
Memory to register.
So how does it go?
So what memory to, if you, I guess we don't have the opcode there. So the opcode of, or the ISA format of memory to register says that we will take the value of RB, use the displacement, at them, use it as our address for memory. So that's why we need RB here. It's right? Yes, memory. Yeah, I guess memory, oh, sorry, memory to register. So yeah, so this adding the, so we need the address, and it comes from RB and the displacement. And you can see that the address calculation is same for MR move Q and RM move Q. We take RB at the destination and use it at the address. The difference is for register to memory and memory to register is here we also need the source, RA. So we actually have to design for that. Any more questions? So the next stage is execute, where it's anything we are doing in our ALU. So in ALU, we have two inputs. And the common case is most probably they're coming from our register file. And then there is this output, which I guess we have to, usually it's something either we will write it back to our register file, or we will use it as an address to our memory. But these are the common cases. I guess we will look in a bit. But what we haven't talked about so far is we actually also update the condition code in this stage. So add, subtract, and XOR, and we have to set up the zero flag and sign flag based on their output. And if we are doing some conditioning, we actually have to decide that based on the condition flag, we are supposed to do something else. That's also some logic we actually have to implement to do that stuff. So for example, if we are trying to implement some of the conditional moves, we have a bunch of options. The first option was ignore the condition, which was always, like in our opcode, there were some bits which said that if it's all zero, just ignore the condition, always perform the operation. But then we also had a bunch of operations less than or equal, greater, and etc. So we actually have to use those bits to decide that based on the condition code, what exactly we want to do in our processor. So for example, let's assume we are trying to decide what goes in our register file destination E. So anything that came out of the ALU that could go there, I guess we are, or we could have something from the register file, or sometimes we would say that don't write anything to register file, so we will use F. So here, for example, if we want to say that just ignore the condition, that means that we have to do some logic here to select the first input, so it will pass one, and then we want to say that if it's the condition is always perform the operation, then we want to select this RB, which is the first input, and the mux should select zero. So that's why there is this not here, which says that if we have one here, take the negation and always pass RB to our destination. So this is something you have to actually design when you're doing your assignments. But I guess what we were trying to see was if we are designing our execute stage, the general case is our inputs of the ALU are both coming from our register. So it's true for add. We are taking two register values and we want to add something. But as I said, after we have considered the common case, we actually now have to consider all the special cases. So again, let's given that these are some other instruction, let's try to see where this condition doesn't hold and we have to do something else. So for NOP, it doesn't matter. For add, it's actually has been set up correctly. But then we actually have to look at what are the condition, the specific cases. And the first special case is our address calculation, which is memory to register and register to memory move, where the address is calculated using displacement and RB. So that means that this one, here we have to have a mux to say that sometimes we will read register RA, but sometimes the value would come from our displacement. But then we also have all this instruction related to stack. So push, pop, call, return. There, we usually increment or decrement the stack pointer based on what operation we have done. So in that case, we have the register we are trying to, the address that we are calculating is the stack pointer address. And we have to provide the input as RSP and this 8. So either we decrement it or we add it or subtract it. So that means that now here we have three kind of inputs we have to consider in the execute stage. The first one was the generic one, which was coming from the source. But then we have these extra two things. One is the first input to ALU could come from our immediate value. And the second is for our stack pointer operation. We actually have to add 8. Any question here? Yes?
We could have designed our static instructions to instead have to instead include a C every time we use that instruction and just put it there.
Could we design an instruction where we put, so within the instruction, we always put RSP somewhere, like the value of the register number. Okay, but I guess at the high level, the answer is yes. We could come up with alternative designs, but because this is the one we are following, the YA86 ISA and this design, so that's why this is the design choice that the authors of the textbook made. Yes.
Is what you're asking that instead of providing aid later on there, we could just provide aid in when we put the instruction into like code followed by number 8?
Yes, we could have. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We could have, but that's not what we have done. Okay. So let's get to our memory stage. And for memory, we need input, which is the address. And then we read some value from memory based on that address, or we write a value into the memory. In that case, we also need the value. So here, usually, if we did an address calculation, the address will come from the ALU. And if we are writing something, usually it's coming from our register. So this is the common case that since we do address calculation with our ALU, It's the output of ALU, which is VLE. We connected it to address in. And usually, we take the value of register RA and write it back. So that's common case. But again, we have to kind of verify that are there any specific cases. So what are the specific cases? So for address, mostly the common cases, we generated the address from our ALU. But then there are these tricky cases with pop and return, where pop and return both are basically taking the stack pointer and popping that address from the stack. So that means that here, sometimes we actually have to provide something else as our address. For the here, the address could be related to whatever operation we did with RSP. So we sometimes we would so for pop and return, the stack top of the stack is at RSP. For push and call, we actually have to calculate RSP minus 8 and then use that. Also for data, there are some tricky cases. So mostly it will come from our register A, but also think about the call. So what happens in the call? In the call instruction, we have call and then there is some address that's supposed to be our next PC. But we are also actually pushing our next instruction PC in our stack so that when we return, we pop the stack and we know which, you know, where to start from. So the call instruction, it means that we actually have to write in our memory PC plus 9 because that's the length of the call instruction and that's where our next instruction is. So that's why you can see that for data, so there are two options. So either the data is coming from RA, which is the common case, and for other there is one special case that for call, we actually have to use PC plus 9 as our data. And for address, we also have these two options. The common case is usually we do address calculation, and that comes from the address comes from the output of ALU. But there are also specific cases where we will actually take the value of RSP. So that's why it's coming from our register RP. The condition code mux. So that's actually, we were using it here to decide that, so for example, for RR move or CC move zero, which says that always move. So here we have to use these mux to say that the condition code says that always do that. But if the condition code says that move only when less than, then we have to check first if it's less than or equal or some condition and then actually pass it on.
So it's not.
No, so it is not related to memory. So it's done in the execute phase when we are actually have some output in ALU. Any more questions? So the next stage is write back, which is related to writing some value back in our register file. And if you remember, for writing back, we actually have two inputs, which could take two register number. And because we want to write something back, we also have to have the value that we want to write back. So that's why we also have this next artist. So if we want to write something destination M, that basically means that the value that we want to write back comes from our memory. So that's why you can see this is the wire going to memory. And dist E is actually if we have we have used the ALU and we have an output and we want to write it back to our register file, for example, maybe add or subtract. So that's the destination execute. This is the one. So again, I guess these are the common cases. But we actually now have to again think about what are the special cases we have in our write back stage. So I guess this I already talked. We have two inputs, two register number, two register data. And in most cases, you will see that we actually use just one. But there is this pop instruction where we will actually use both of them. So with pop, what we are doing is we are taking the top of the stack and then we are moving it to, suppose it's pop QRA. We are writing back that value to RA. So this is the first write. But then we actually have another write which corresponds to updated the stack pointer. So that's also we actually have to update in our register file. So that is the reason our register file have this option that we could write back two registers in the same cycle. So, and sometimes we may not actually write anything back. In that case, we could always use if. So I guess this is the one we have already seen. So you could see that here. For destination M, the output is coming from memory. This is the common case. For destination E, the output could come from three different places. So these are all special cases. So the first case is the common case where we are writing back whatever we have computed using the ALU. So that's add, subtract, XOR, and. Then we actually could have the immediate that we want to write back to a register, which basically IR move Q. So whatever immediate we had in our instruction, we are moving it to the register file. And then there are sometimes we will just take the value of RA and write it back to our destination. So because we have these three kind of inputs, we could just use emux and do this. But if you actually read your book, you will see that they actually didn't do this thing. So they didn't implement it in this way. So instead, what they did is they said that we don't want to use these masks with three inputs. So instead, what we will do is we will make sure that this output to our ALU that always contains our input to this destination E. And to make sure that it happens, what they did is they have this extra operation where sometimes when we don't, like for example, what we were doing was we were taking the value of register A and write it back to our destination. What they say is, okay, we will pass it to ALU as always, but we will add zero to it. That means that the ALU still produces the same value and we will write it back to our register file. So this is an alternative design choice that the authors made. And it doesn't matter which one you do. Like in your assignments, you could do whichever you want. The trade-off here is this one recursive masks with three inputs. And here you have to take this specific case that sometimes the value to the second value input to our ALU is sometimes zero. But again, it's your choice which one you do. Any question? So the last stage that we will talk about is updating the PC. And common case is we take the length of the instruction, add it to our PC and update it. So that's our common case. But then we actually have to think about all these special cases. So this is the common case. We take the PC. We take the instruction length, add it, and this is going to our PC register. But then think about what happens when we have a jump, then some value. Like we have a destination after jump. So that's the position we are supposed to jump. In that case, the input to the PC could come from our immediate. Like the part of the immediate value that we have in our instruction. And then we have these return or call. I guess let's do the call first. So for the call, it's the format is very similar to jump. Call says that after the opcode, there is this immediate value where we're supposed to jump, so this still will come from immediate value. For return, it's a bit different. So what happens with return is, remember that with call, we had pushed the next instruction PC in our stack. So with return, we actually have to pop that location from our stack and use that as our next PC. So that means that because the stack is in memory, we have to do a memory operation to read the top of the stack. And then we actually have to use that value to drive our PC. So that's the third option. So that's why we have a mask with three inputs. One is the common case, which is increment the PC by instruction length. The second one is any kind of immediate that we have after the jump, after the in the instruction. So it's jump and call. And the third one is return, where the address comes from our stack. So this third one. Any question? Okay. So now let's do an exercise that, like, till now, we mostly ignored how to set the masks, right? So we will try to see the whole thing. So this is a picture where for Y86, this is how it will look like without the control path. So all the data path is here for Y86 instructions. But remember that we actually have to set up the masks appropriately to make sure that correct things happen for each instruction. So we want to do an exercise that we have these add instruction and the register values, it's taking our R8 and R9, and then it will write it back the value at R9. And we want to know that for each of these masks, what's the correct value that we want to transfer to our masks. So first one is PC. So for PC, I guess because we talked about it just right now. So we have three options. So increment by the instruction length, or add, we know that the instruction length is 2, so this is where the PC plus 2 is coming. But then we also have the option that it would come from our instruction, the displacement or the immediate value, or it could also come from our memory. But for add, we know that the correct one is this PC plus 2. So we have to select this one, like the third input in our mux. Now let's take a look at what's happening in these cases. So for destination M and E, what are we supposed to input? So here, for add, we are writing back our result of the addition in R9. And that means that the value would come from our ALU, and we are supposed to use this destination E to set up properly, so which comes from RB. But we also have to make sure that we don't write anything else with the other input. So for destination M, we have to actually put F there. We have to select F here. I guess, do we show that? Okay. So for, I guess, PC, we select PC plus 2. For destination E, we have selected our destination RB. This is the one we don't use, so we are using F. I guess the next one is the ALU here. So this is a very common arithmetic operation where both of the operands are coming from the register file. So that's why here we select R8, which is the second value in the mux. And for the second input to ALU, we have selected R9. And remember that we also have to have some control logic to say that the ALU should do the add operation. So this is also something I guess we are not showing, but we have to take this I found that where, and based on that, say, perform the add operation. Yes?
In HTLRS, we already have an ALU built into the
separator.
No. So how do you tell
it? We
have an add operation.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
But it's not an ALU, it doesn't have a function. So
all right, so you just make a mux that says do add operator.
Yes.
Okay.
Any more question? Okay. So I guess let's do another exercise, but this time register to memory move. And we want to know that what are the mux input we want to select for memory to register move, register to memory move. So again, register to memory move says that we will take the value of the register. We also have to calculate the address using register value and displacement, and then we will write back the value. I guess let's start with PC. Which one do we need? Yes.
Instruction.
Yes. Yeah. I guess this is the common one. So then we actually have to decide what we do for our when we in the decode stage. We have to decide that what is the second register value we want to put, because it we are actually not reading so here we are reading RB, not RSP, so we actually have to put it selected properly. Then for the destination, so here we are actually writing we have to say that we are not writing anything from memory, so that is why it's if. Also, because we are not writing back anything, even from the ALU, it's if. It's kind of simple, because registered to memory is writing back to memory. It's not writing back anything our register file, so we just put it up here. But for ALU, what we are supposed to do? So we are doing a address calculation. So that's why the first input comes from our immediate value. So val C, that's the first one we have selected. And the second one is coming from our register file. And I guess the other thing we will show here. So we have to say enable the write to memory flag, so this one, because we are actually writing something in memory. I guess this is it. Yes. Any question here? Yes.
In the register file, to the left of destination M, the MuxDev has two inputs, it has three in the top and bottom one. What's the difference between the top and the bottom? First.
Dest M and Dest E?
No.
Within Dest E?
In the MUX for Dest M, there's three arrows going into it. What are the first and third?
The first and third. So the first one is actually RA, and the second one is RB, right? So this is a bit tricky case, which you remember that for memory to register move and register to memory move.
I think there's a reason if you go through the instructions you want to do that.
So I guess we should look at the RSP versus.
Or maybe you don't need it. Might be necessary.
Yeah.
I made that picture a while ago. We can always add MUX inputs that we don't use. But yeah, they are different on the picture. One's RA and RB. I guess we always use RA, you know, for pop and for memory to register move, and that's the only reason. So we read from the memory into the register, so it should be it.
Any more questions? I guess you could try to do this exercise for all instructions, but when you're trying to do your assignments, start with each phase, try to figure out what to do for that phase, then move to the next one. And always do the common case first, then look at for the special cases. That's the design philosophy that you should follow. Any more question? Okay, I guess then this is it for today. Thank you.